Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here, right live in the Right Side Studios. I got my tongue tied there. Local, state, and national, all the issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. That's what I get for looking up, watching tsunami warnings on the TV, reading my script lines over there on the screen that I'm about to do for my monologue. Over here, I got the video playing, and then I don't know what you were doing, but it was distracting.
I was about to say, I think I've been here for almost 2 months. I think that's the first time I've heard you mess up your intro like that.
Okay, I'll take it. So there you go. Now I gotta spend the whole show making up for it. Hey, welcome to Thursday. We got a great show laid on for you, and of course the voice you just heard, that is the JP on the board. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Can't complain, especially after a big Alabama win last night. Also an Auburn loss, but nonetheless.
So anyway, hey, coming on today at 3 o'clock. So we're real stoked. I told you guys we have some new content coming out. Right Side Media, being the parent company of Right Side Radio, well, one of those new media content providers is former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. Many of y'all know Jared. He's been on the show multiple times. He is he's a former candidate for sheriff in Jefferson County, a former Navy SEAL. He runs a human trafficking kind of interdiction business out of Birmingham, and does some amazing cool stuff. We're going to be talking with Jared Hudson about several things, including the fact his new podcast has rolled out today. So Jared Hudson coming on at 3 o'clock today. Stand by for that. And then 3:30, you know the deal. It's Thursday. 3:30, Butters and Lee. So yeah, Butters and Lee will be here. I ask them questions. They ask me questions. We just see where the chips fall. Butters and Lee at 3:30, and then I still got a triple dipper. So hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First one out the gate, in conjunction with the conversation with Jared Hudson, and oh, by the way, segueing right off of my monologue, I'm calling it Do It for the Kids. Do It for the Kids. You know, there's three major things I want to talk about today when it comes to kids. I want to talk about human trafficking. I want to talk about abandonment of kids coming across our southern border, and I want to talk about the transgender agenda, all wrapped up into one. It's amazing. It's amazing what left is trying to do to our kids. We'll talk about it. Do it for the kids. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, I'm calling it power and influence. Listen, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the world is not even paying attention to Joe Biden anymore. In fact, Joe Biden went to Africa, and like hardly anybody knew it. And he even was caught on film falling asleep in the middle of a meeting where he's sitting at the head table. It's unbelievable. Meanwhile, the rest of the world's already turning to Trump. And we're going to talk about the power and the influence of the United States of America and what happens when the office of the presidency actually seems to matter. And then number three, let's talk about the world stage. Because if you're not familiar, we've had some drama. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like some drama. Y'all, did you see that South Korea, the president tried to declare martial law on the whole nation, martial law. And then, oh, by the way, did you see that the French prime minister was just ousted? Yes, he was. And have you seen what's happening with the European Union and the elections over there? It's rather interesting. Overall, things are flexible, if you will, on the world stage, and we're going to talk about it. Well, all right, let me jump on into my opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, the Daily Right Side Way monologue is brought to you every day by attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the firm of Wilmer and Lee. Wilmer and Lee. You'll hear more about Stan in just a moment, but he is the sponsor of the Right Side Way. So, look, yesterday, the world saw the most incredible display of first world jackassery. At levels we've never seen before. Right there at the Supreme Court of the United States, one of the most respected and well-preserved bastions of the rule of law in the entire world. A place where allegedly legal jurisprudence is supposed to meet with common sense and render precedents that affect literally hundreds of millions of people and truthfully have tangential effects on billions of others around the world. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday by a woman pretending to be a man, arguing in favor of mutilating young children because they were supposedly born in the wrong bodies. Should I say that again? The Supreme Court heard oral arguments by a woman pretending to be a man who was arguing in favor of mutilating young children because they were supposedly born in the wrong bodies. I'm telling you, we have slipped off into some kind of post-apocalyptic mayhem. In my opinion, there are some things for which a nation will be judged. There are some things that future generations will look back on and literally judge their ancestors on how they responded. I mean, we look back on the Salem witch trials now and we are repulsed by it, but it happened. We look back on slavery now and we are repulsed by it, but it happened. We look back on the genocide of Jews and we are repulsed by it, but it happened. And I believe that how we as a modern generation act right now to care for and protect our kids, that's something that future generations will look back on and judge us for. Nationwide, there's a focus, an emphasis, if you will, on asserting that in America we value our children and as such we want what is best for them in every way. As conservatives, we want to know that our children are being taught the best possible levels of reading, writing, arithmetic, sciences, technology, history, civics. In essence, we want an actual education for our kids, and we want our kids to be safe, to feel valued, to have positive social interactions, to be truly educated, which includes having an outcome-based education that rewards success and remediates failure, but stays focused on what is actually best for the child. Maybe even stays focused on, I don't know, education. Sounds reasonable, right? Conservatives want our children to be educated. Liberal progressives, they just want our children. News broke yesterday, the Chicago Teachers Union is demanding that transgenderism be incorporated into their teaching curriculum. Huh. So on the one hand, they want to teach science, ostensibly biology, and they'll teach grammar, which includes the correct use of pronouns, and they'll keep order in the classroom and not allow bullying, but then they'll flip the script just to get to the agenda, which is, oh, by the way, transgenderism. I mean, think back to your own school days. Do you remember those times when we were taught to keep secrets from our parents? By our teachers? No. To literally conspire with teachers to say or do things that our parents wouldn't like and then not tell our parents? No. Just to enjoy that salacious nature of having a trusted adult help us rebel against our own family? No, you don't remember doing that? Neither do I. None of us do, because it's wrong, and any teacher who tried that back in the day would find themselves out on their ear. All right, well, never mind that one. I'm sure by now you all recall those halcyon days of learning when you sat in biology class and you learned about the fundamentals of biology and anatomy and physiology and you took tests on the topic. And even though the textbooks told you what was what, you were also told by your teachers that despite having to pass the test, that it was all hogwash in reality and that the textbooks were wrong because any male could be a female and vice versa simply by identifying. Oh, wait, you don't remember that? Neither do I. None of us do. Any teacher who tried that would have been run out of town on a rail. Well, okay, hang on. What about that time when we were taught in English class to use the proper pronouns based upon the standards of the actual English language? And then we went down the hall to our next class and we had another teacher tell us that we can misappropriate pronouns for our own satisfaction and that she can be for a he and that they, them can be used on a singular person. But wait, okay, hang on. That didn't happen in my school. And I guarantee it didn't happen in yours either. But it does now. All of that, it happens far too often. Any teacher back in the day that attempted this kind of tripe would have been sent packing forthwith. Every single day, we are now catching more glimpses into the activist factories that some schools have become. Schools where every value, every belief, every patriotic vibe and faith-based position is laid bare and vacated by activists who pose as teachers. It happens every day now, and we're beginning to see it more and more. But then, let's talk about what else happens to kids in our country. Because there's another shocking story. It's not just the transgender ideology. How about this? Another shocking story comes from our southern border. As hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied young children have inexplicably streamed into our country, unaccompanied, some as young as 2 years old, showing up at the border by themselves with nothing but a phone number written on their arms. And the Biden administration has just allowed these precious ones to come into our care and then promptly lost them. And I don't mean a few. A recent report from the Inspector General of ICE within the Biden administration details the awful statistic that the Biden administration has allowed over 300,000 young minor children to enter the U.S. unaccompanied and now has no contact for them. No knowledge of where they are, just gone out into the ether with only the hope that they are safe and not being trafficked and abused. Look, children in America too often face the social contagion of constant pressure to follow their own truth, to get medical intervention, even surgeries, and wind up more often than not with a lifetime of counseling and medication. We're also seeing, and I suspect we'll see more in the future, of kids that are disappearing after they come in because liberals are willing to take them in but do nothing to help care for them, and we don't even know where they go. We have a society right now that is too often telling a child they need to understand, accept, and even participate in adult versions of sexuality. Even to the extent of allowing children who can't drive or legally sign a contract or marry or join the military make a decision about whether or not their biology is what they say it is. We have reached the zenith of social schizophrenia. On the one hand, we tell children that we are going to affirm them, while on the other hand, demanding they be treated as being altered because they were made wrong. So we claim to value children as important, as dear to us, and yet we callously have a national policy that allows vulnerable children to wander across the border and be farmed out to alleged family members and then promptly wash our hands of them and write them off the books. We've got to rein all this in, because I'll be honest, they'll be adults soon enough if they make it that far. And how will they remember their childhood? You see, kids are a gift from God, and we're called to be stewards of His gifts. That's why I'm concerned. Our nation is on the one hand doing all that we can for kids, and on the other hand, we're destroying them at a rate never before seen. And gone are the days, by the way, when we can just turn a blind eye and pretend we didn't know. Gone are the days where we can just shrug our shoulders and say, well, it's not my kid, so it's not my fight. Progressive liberals, they want our kids. And if it's not your kid today, it'll be your grandchild tomorrow. It'll be that sweet neighbor's kid who plays in the yard. It'll be the little minions who run the hallways of your church or play on the playground in the corner or the ones who get too loud in the grocery store. This, my friends, is a fight for all of us. So as a nation, as a culture, I really do believe we're going to be held accountable one day. Future generations are going to look back on this time, and what will they say about us? It is not enough to say that we were good stewards with our possessions or our skills or our talents or our natural resources or our time. One of the greatest forms of stewardship that any culture can be measured against is the simple question, what did you do with the children? And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, what did you do with the children? Can you imagine if 30 years in the future, we're actually called in to have to give an account for that? What did you do with the children? Well, they weren't my kids. I didn't know. I wasn't involved. I got news. A nation can be judged for stuff like this. And it's happening on our watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. You can stream the show online. A bunch of y'all are already watching. You can catch it on Rumble, on YouTube. It's on two different X accounts, at @rightside_media or at @SinPhilWilliams. Both of them got the show streaming. And I know that people are out there watching it there. Just keep in mind, you can always get us no matter where you are in the whole wide world, just by going to the World Wide Web and just click on Right Side Media's various platforms and watch it. If you do go to one of those, by the way, hit subscribe. Speaking of which, I got to say this. I'm pretty stoked. So we have Right Side Media, I said earlier, is the parent company of who we are, Right Side Radio. And we are a conservative content generator. All right. So we're not just a radio show. That's part of it. Right Side Radio is just one aspect of what Right Side Media is. We've got written stuff. We've got podcasts. We got the audio version of the show that comes out. You can get it online or download it in podcast form. But here's the kicker. We've had two video podcasts that have been going now for a while. I think I just did my 30th episode or something like that.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So Right Philosophy and Right Click have been out there for a while. Starting today, do you have some applause? Give me something, some kind of drum beat. What do we got? Give me a boom. Applause. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Be in the area all day. So Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, the owner-operator of the a great Covenant Rescue Group, a great human trafficking interdiction organization, he has started a new podcast with us called The Liberty Minute. You can find it right now. We've already posted two episodes of The Liberty Minute up today. You can find it on all of our platforms, rightsidemedia.org. Go to us on YouTube. Anyway, The Liberty Minute with former SEAL Jared Hudson. And then coming out on Sunday, we're going to drop the first two episodes by our friend Emily Jones. Hers is called The Controversial Mom. You may recall Emily Jones was a mom who got uppity. She just looked around one day and did not like what she was seeing. And she formed the first chapter of Moms for Liberty here in Alabama. And so her her podcast is called The Controversial Mom, and hers kicks off on Sunday. So you'll start seeing these weekly now posting out, dropping in so you can get them. And if you go to our YouTube page, there they are. Just hit subscribe and you'll always know when they're there.
By the way, I just have to say, you know, we set a goal for 700 subscribers on the way to 1,000. When we ended the show yesterday, we were at 697. But I just got to give a shout out because I saw Badger's text. He said that he watched the Right Side YouTube page after we were live and said that he was subscriber number 700. So,
Badger, hit him some applause then. That's all right. Badger, you're the man.
Thank you to Badger.
Thank you to Badger. We appreciate you. Several more texting in. Stephen from Athens says, Phil, as usual, great monologue. Thank you, brother. He says, regarding the teachers teaching transgender ideology, it's chaos. And who is the author of chaos? Yeah, that's exactly right. Our God is a God of clarity. The God of confusion, so to speak, is obviously just the opposite. John from Harvest says, Phil, good monologue. And did you see where Mexico made record fentanyl bust? No, I did not. Shortly after Trump threatened new tariffs, go figure. He said, I'm sure it's a coincidence. That's going to be part of my show if I can get to it all today. I got so much stuff, but I got a power and influence section that says that world leaders are already responding to Trump more than Biden. They know the deal. They know what's up. TL from Huntsville says, powerful monologue, Phil. I'm sure you've heard this quote. Quote, the true character of a society is revealed in how it treats its children. Nelson Mandela. I had not heard that quote, and if I had, it would have been in my monologue. That's awesome. He said in a similar manner, he also said, there can be no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children. Okay. I'm wishing I had seen those quotes when I was putting my monologue together, because that's spot on. Thank you, TL. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear the manhunt still continues for the gunman who shot and killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson? I have heard that. So, by the way, I just want to let Lee from Huntsville know that she has a great chance of being today's winner. Wait, now, hang on. You can't give out preemptive points. You don't know.
Doesn't seem fair.
That sounds like a Joe Biden pardon. It's a preemptive pardon.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, by the way? We were talking about that earlier, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Preemptive pardons for potential targets of Donald Trump. It's like, first of all, why are we giving? How does a preemptive pardon even work? Like, hey, by the way, Phil, if you go out and murder somebody, you're pardoned. You won't go to jail. It's like that doesn't seem legal.
But I don't have any intent to murder somebody. Yeah, but if you do,
just in the hypothetical.
Yeah, you're okay. We got you covered, man. It's that. That's the ultimate get out of jail free card.
Yep.
You know what?
It's ridiculous.
Just keep that card in your wallet, and when you need it, shabam. I'm sorry. I already have a preemptive pardon. carry on, sir. You know what? That's not going to stand. I don't think you can do that.
No. There's no shot.
All right. We'll be right back after the break. We're kicking off Dipper number one. Do it for the kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about it. It's the one I'm in. It's Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I'm going to do this first section, Do It for the Kids, and coming up top of the hour, in conjunction with this, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL who now runs Covenant Rescue Group, which intervenes in sex trafficking and human trafficking issues and trains police forces and helps them with their stings and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're in the mix is what I'm saying. They're the action guys. He's going to be on to help us with this conversation and talk about some very recent stings he's been a part of right here in Alabama. And it's amazing to think, okay, you watch the news and you get the sense that that's that thing that's out there, right? That's that thing that's somewhere else. No, it's right here. It's in our backyard. I mean, like, for instance, I-20 cutting right through the middle of Alabama, I-20 coming across the state from east to west, west to east, is literally considered to be the human trafficking corridor of the South, going from Atlanta to Texas. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. Take up the cause of the fatherless. So let's break this down into three categories. If I had to say there's three, I mean, I could find all kinds of ways that we're going to talk about what current liberal progressive culture tries to do to kids. But let's take three. I'm going to call them this way. Transgenderism, abandonment, and sex trafficking. Transgenderism, abandonment, sex trafficking. Can we have an honest conversation about this? So yesterday at the Supreme Court was it was a circus. It was a sideshow. It was like something out of a carnival. I don't know if you guys have seen him or not. Damn, I didn't say that. Did I say that? Her. I don't know if she's it.
To be fair, appearance wise, he does a good job of. I did it too. She does a good job of fooling you until you hear the voice.
I know, but sort of. But yeah. You and I both, it caught our attention looking up on the screen the other day. We're like, something doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we were, with it was muted.
You said she looks like a cartoon character.
Yep. Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
So, formerly known as Kate Strangio, now going by the name Chase Strangio, is the first ever transgender lawyer to argue before the U.S. Supreme Court. The case is called U.S. v. Skirmetti. Skirmetti being the Attorney General of the state of Tennessee. So Attorney General Skirmetti is being sued by the federal government. Okay, wait a minute. It's not just the ACLU. Oh no, old Chase Strangio. By the way, the name Strangio, it sounds like he's trying to be like, you know, Mysterio or something, the Strangio, but it's strange, all right. But Chase Strangio works for the ACLU. But the case is actually the U.S. government under the Biden administration suing the state of Tennessee because the state of Tennessee did exactly what Alabama did, which was pass a ban on so-called gender-affirming care for minors. So there were several states, Alabama being one, whose causes in that regard could have been taken up to the Supreme Court. Tennessee's is the one that was chosen. This could set the precedent for all of them. There's 26 states right now, like Alabama and Tennessee, that have put in place laws to protect minors from these, you know, dangerous transition drugs, hormone therapies, and even surgeries that alter them for life. One of the most dangerous of these activists, here's a piece I pulled off of Wokespy, is this Chase Strangio, who looks like a slight, thin woman who's taken hormones in an effort to try and appear to be a man, with a little wispy mustache and a voice that just does not work. So the ACLU, which, by the way, used to be like a free speech organization, they are defending abuse against children by arguing that the state of Tennessee is violating the constitutional rights of children by not allowing this kind of dangerous therapy or surgery on kids. So I'm going to play this audio clip. I'm going to call for audio one, all right? Audio one is this Chase Strangio. When you hear the voice, just understand that what you're hearing is a woman who has taken a lot of hormones to try and be a man, and you'll hear the voice and understand what I'm saying. But in this clip, what you're going to hear is Chase Strangio arguing that the Supreme Court needs to understand that even two-year-olds sometimes know they're transgender. Play it.
Who are sensitive and supportive of trans kids, obviously don't want suicidal ideation, et cetera, but wonder if there is enough data as of now to prove that it is beneficial to allow these sort of treatments before the age of 18.
So I would say three things. And the first is we have decades of both clinical experience and research data showing that this is medical treatment that provides critical benefits to adolescents who need it. And so this is not new. This is not new medication. And so we have that information. We have long-term studies that track people for 5-6 years. The Supreme Court this week heard arguments in an FDA case in which the FDA referred to long-term as being 6 months of follow-up. Here we have years of follow-up. And so that's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say is nobody has to provide this medication to adolescents. These are not doctors being forced to provide this medication. These are doctors who are wanting to treat their patients in the best way that they know how, based on the best available evidence to us. And these are young people who may have known since they were 2 years old exactly who they are, who suffered for 6-7 years before they had any relief. And what's happening here, it's not the kids who are consenting to this treatment, it's the parents who are consenting to the treatment. And as a parent, I would say, when our children are suffering, we are suffering. And these are parents who love their children, who are listening to the advice of their doctors, of the mainstream medical community, and doing what's right for their kids, and the state of Tennessee has displaced their judgment.
Right, stop right there. That's a sick set of circumstances right there. That's the most first world obnoxious batch of jackassery I have ever seen. You've got what is obviously a woman pretending to be a man being interviewed by CNN about the argument of whether or not two-year-olds know they're transgender and therefore need surgeries or hormones. And oh, by the way, it's the parents that will sign them up for it. That's what she said. You know what? And maybe those parents should be held to account for child abuse.
That's what I was going to say. Like, so the kids need protection is what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing.
From the mentally ill parents who are wanting to take part in this.
Listen, my youngest grandchild is two. Two-year-olds don't know which shoe goes on which foot. Two-year-olds don't know yet how to dress themselves. Two-year-olds are being potty trained. Two-year-olds don't know anything about transgenderism. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard anybody utter. And it said it with a straight face. It said it before the Supreme Court. So yesterday, it went before the Supreme Court, Chase Strangio. And Justice Samuel Alito, there were some pretty interesting exchanges. And I've got a piece we're going to play from Matt Walsh, who was outside the Supreme Court. Matt Walsh has been the champion. Matt Walsh is from Daily Wire, is one of the reasons why Tennessee got this law passed, because that's where they're based. Daily Wire is based out of Nashville. He's the one who exposed Vanderbilt was doing these surgeries on kids. It just incensed the legislature when they learned that under their watch, Vanderbilt had been doing these things, and the Tennessee legislature responded to Matt Walsh's expose by basically passing this law. So Matt Walsh was on the steps of the Supreme Court, and I'm going to call for that clip here in just a minute, man. But listen to this. There was a moment in the arguments. So Chase Strangio is arguing before the appellate court, the Supreme Court, and makes the statement, said, I think the record shows, basically was arguing that transgender is immutable. And being immutable means that it is then protected by anti-discrimination laws. So they're likening this to race-based discrimination. They're likening it to gender discrimination. They're saying that transgenderism is immutable. So bottom line is, lawyer Phil talking here for a minute. Under the law, immutability would refer to a characteristic that is considered to be unchangeable, so fundamental to a person's identity that it can't be changed. And you use that in anti-discrimination laws. So Chase Strangio says before the court that this is immutable. Here's what she said. I think the record shows that the discordance between a person's birth, sex, and gender identity has a strong biological basis and would satisfy an immutability test. To which Justice Alito at one point asked, isn't it true that there are those who detransition after believing they're transgender and revert back to their biological sex? To which Trey Strangio said, well, I would believe that would be true. And then Judge Alito said, well, then there's no immutability. If you can change it back, then it was never immutable to begin with. I think that one exchange unhinged the entire argument, in my opinion. But judges now have to decide whether barring kids from having medically recommended health care qualifies as an unconstitutional sex discrimination under the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. That's what I'm reading here off of a Yahoo.com news article about yesterday's arguments. So the bottom line is the ACLU and the Biden administration, let that sink in. Your U.S. government has argued that Tennessee should not be allowed to do this because it's unconstitutional and because transgenderism is immutable. They can't help it. It's just what they are. But they can revert back, so it must not be immutable. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Matt Walsh went to the steps of the Supreme Court yesterday in the aftermath. The entire time he's speaking, transgender activists are heckling and yelling in the background, so what I'm about to play for you might be kind of hard to go with on radio. But Matt Walsh, who has been a champion for this, I need to get him on a podcast one time. Matt Walsh, who has been a champion on this issue, went to bat and he said, "We're not done." Play clip two.
I actually agree with the premise, sort of. This case is about the rights of children. It's about the right of a child to be protected from the gender butchers. That's what it's about. Children have the constitutional right, the human right, the God-given right to live and grow and learn about themselves and the world without being indoctrinated and exploited by people who reject the fundamental realities of existence. Children have a right to go through phases, to have moments of confusion and discomfort in their own bodies, just like every generation of children before them, without that confusion being seized upon as a pretense to do irreparable harm to their bodies. So to the trans activists over there claiming this is all about the rights of children, I say again, yes, you're right, it is. They have a right to be protected from you. Children have a right to be protected from all of those people over there who want to harm them and damage them and destroy them. And they will be. They are going to lose. They are losing right now. We are not going to let them harm our children.
What an outstanding clip. And on that, we're going to take a break. But listen, do it for the kids. That's the name of this Dipper. And the whole first section there was on the transgender agenda. They don't want their agenda. They don't want equality. They just want your kids. We'll come back and talk about another piece of this, the abandonment of kids at the southern border. Holy cow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I'm in this section right now calling Do It for the Kids. Coming up top of the hour, we'll come back from the next break, and we have a former Navy SEAL and now owner-operator of the Covenant Rescue Group is going to be on with us talking about human trafficking issues and some of the most recent stings he's been a part of right here in Alabama. But before I do that, though, I broke this whole thing about doing it for the kids into three problem areas that I think are just they're endemic right now. They are something that is so prolific that you look at it and I think future generations are going to look back on us and go, what were y'all doing back then? What were you thinking about? The first one we just covered was the transgender agenda as to kids, like this knucklehead who's obviously got mental health issues of her own, who believes she's a man, arguing for the idea that two-year-olds know whether they're transgender and they deserve to have gender-affirming care. I mean, my God. Before the Supreme Court of the United States, of all places. But how about this one? How about abandonment? What am I talking about? Abandonment on the border. What about abandonment on the border? I look at that and go, what the heck, man? So we've got a situation right now where on our southern border, and by the way, you know what? Once they cross the border, unaccompanied, As much as I hate to say it, because you think, who in God's name sent a five-year-old by themselves to the southern border to cross the Rio Grande to America with a phone number written on their arm and just hope for the best? Who did that? Okay, I can't help that. That happened on the other side of the border. But once they got to our side of the border, they became our duty, our responsibility. How about this? Representative Michael Cloud, Republican of Texas, is demanding a response from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement regarding a report that nearly 300,000 migrant children have disappeared from tracking. Think of the staggering levels of that number. 300,000. That is bigger, y'all, that is bigger than Huntsville and most of Birmingham together, the entire population. We're talking, this is huge. So a recent report from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General found that 300,000 migrant children under the care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement effectively disappeared from the official radar. The letter from the representative said, the Biden-Harris administration's failure to track thousands of vulnerable migrant children is unacceptable. Almost 300,000 children have essentially vanished under their watch, putting them at serious risk of trafficking and exploitation. This administration is sitting by and not doing nearly enough to get answers and fix this crisis. We had a whistleblower not long ago. Her name was Tara Rodas, and she worked with the Department of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration. She's a whistleblower who came forward and said she was put in the position of having to hand over children to so-called sponsors, believing they were not even family members, opening up the possibility of abuse. She said she handed, and by the way, I look at it and go, why'd you do it then? But at least she's a whistleblower now. She said, in her words, quote, she handed children over to traffickers. Really? Members of transnational criminal organizations, bad actors, bad, bad people, she said. She also said the Biden administration was responsible for stripping away the vetting process. What does that mean? What it means is the Biden administration removed the standards of care. There's not a single member of the Biden family that would ever allow their child to be treated like this. But once they crossed our border, y'all, I'll be honest, at that point, they did become our responsibility. The adults, I get it. You can send them on their way. You can send them back home. You can put them in jail. You can do the things. But a minor child? I mean, like literally, when they call them tender age minors. When a tender age minor comes across the border by themselves and says, I was sent here, and they've got a phone number. And this is the way they do it. A phone number literally written on the arm with indelible ink. And you just call the number and they go, yeah, I'll be there to pick them up. Or put them on a bus. And they're sending busloads of kids around the nation. Tell me that's not a heinous, heinous way of putting kids at risk. 300,000 of them. And I'm going to tell you, there's a few things that I really do believe that the Biden administration needs to be, you know, sued for, incarcerated for, something. One of them is for the endangerment of 300,000 minor children, some of whom are probably okay, a lot of whom we have no idea. And the question is, where are they now? Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, who works with Covenant Rescue Group in human trafficking issues. They've done several stings right here in Alabama in recent weeks. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper for the day. I'm calling it Doing It for the Kids. So I told you I was going to break us into three categories of this. Rescuing our kids from the agenda of transgenderism, rescuing our kids from the level of callous abandonment and indifference that we're seeing in the Biden administration as they've lost track of 300,000 minor children at the southern border. And now I want to flip the script and go to a different category of this. The idea of sex trafficking, human trafficking, listen, it is prolific and it is not out there. It is right here in your backyard. And there's somebody who knows that better than any of us. That's Jared Hudson. Jared Hudson been on the show multiple times. He's a business owner, a law enforcement officer, a former Navy SEAL. He's a community leader. He's the founder and current CEO of Covenant Rescue Group, which is a nonprofit that combats human trafficking. And he's also the newest content generator for Right Side Media with his Liberty Minute that we just posted for the first time today. Jared Hudson on the phone right now. How you doing, Frogman?
Doing good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, man, we're excited to have you on the Right Side team, by the way.
Hey, man, I'm excited to be there. Hopefully people resonate with what we're putting out. So I appreciate you bringing me on.
Well, thank you for being a part of it, and thank you for what you do in the broad sense and also specifically on human trafficking. So let me ask you, I got three stories sitting in front of me. Montgomery County, Autauga County, Limestone County, all within the last few months. You've been sort of assisting in working with sting operations, but tell the folks what Covenant Rescue Group is first, and let's get into those stings.
Yeah, so long story short, Covenant Rescue Group is a nonprofit organization that my wife and I started in 2018, got our 501c3 status 2019, and we go around and train local law enforcement agencies all over the nation on how to best make a case in their state against people who are buying or selling kids for sex. So Limestone County, we actually worked with them back in February of this last year, so February 2024, we worked with them, made about 10 arrests with them in Limestone County, put them through the training, set it up, and then the recent operation that you saw was them doing what we taught them on their own, so we're not there anymore. Our goal is to work ourselves out of a job.
Yeah.
So there's 3,100 sheriff's offices across the nation, plus or minus 10%. We'll never be able to get to all of those, but if you want to impact human trafficking in the appropriate way, in the proper way, you've got to work with the local municipalities building solid state cases at the micro level. You've got to get at the level of where the people in that community are. So Limestone County did it on their own recently. So all the training we put them through, we stayed in comms with them, and they had a very successful operation. Montgomery County, we did a 40-hour sex trafficking operations program that's training we put on for agencies from all over the nation. Montgomery hosted it, and then at the end of the week, they did an operation. We did one with them last year where they arrested 15, I believe.
Yeah.
And we just came in with a couple of our guys and audited their operation. They said, hey, we want y'all to sit and watch and see what we do. They set it up from start to finish. We didn't have to do anything because we'd already taught them the previous year, last December. And, man, Montgomery County, they did a phenomenal job with how they set up the operation, everything that we had given them from the previous year. They took it, they honed it, and we were able just to sit in and basically high-five them and say, great job, that's exactly what we want to do, guys. Autauga County had reached out. Autauga County has been a great sheriff's office to work with, unbelievably professional. Prattville PD, unbelievably professional. The prosecutor's office there, those guys were great. They hit us up and said, guys, we want to get into this game. Can you come in? And we went in and provided a trainer for them, set up an operation for them, and we act as advisors overseeing the operation. The example I'd use, you'd be familiar with it, obviously, with your background as a ranger, but it's very much like ground branch within the agency. Mm-hmm. It's an advisory role, a combat advisor type role. So in the special operations community where I come from, we go oversee what the foreign forces are doing to take the fight to the enemy. That's what we're doing with these local law enforcement agencies. We bring in a team, we teach them how to do it, then we oversee a live operation, kind of on-the-job training. And when the agencies see it works, they want to go out and do it on their own. So those are the three that you talked about recently. I think totaling from August till then, I think it was probably about 50 arrests in that area. Got a state trooper out of it.
Yeah.
Got a couple people that have previous rape charges, like they've raped kids, they've sold kids. I mean, you always catch really bad guys. So
you know,
that's what we want to do.
I tell you what, that's God's work right there. And you and I were sort of half joking, half not joking this morning that some of what you see out there makes vigilantism look good, but this is the way we got to do it. You got to build the case, and you got to go through the process, and you got to use the rule of law. But the stuff you see is
100%, because the one thing, I mean, like, when you look at what we've done overseas. And I joke about this, but I'm partly not joking. You know, I've killed people for less. That's the hard part. When you go overseas and you work on behalf of the, you know, political leanings of the government, I go over and shoot somebody on behalf of the U.S. government for a lot less than what these dirtbags that are showing up to buy or sell kids are doing. And so, yeah, it would be great if we could just chat them in, shoot them in the face, hit them in the face with an axe, and walk away, right? But you can't do that in the United States of America. So the only thing you can do is build a solid felony prosecutable case that the prosecutor can then take and get this guy put away and put in jail. The statistic I'll give you is for every guy showing up for a girl, we'll just, because most of our demographic is men, right?
Yeah.
So for every guy showing up for a girl, it's 50 victims plus or minus 10% until he's prosecuted, not until he's arrested. Anybody can snatch a dude. That's easy. Until they're prosecuted. And then for a guy showing up for a male or the homosexual profiles, every guy showing up for a boy, it's 150 victims until they're prosecuted.
Oh, my God.
And you can find that on American Psychiatric Association, and the DOJ did a study about 12 years ago, and they both ran those numbers, and they both came out with the same 50 and 150. So we don't know if when we catch this guy, if it would have been their first victim, 20th victim, or 40th victim, or 140th victim. All we know is that when we catch them, our goal is a successful prosecution based on those local statutes and those local courts. And, you know, that's what you have to do, because you can't make them report the parking lot for a firing squad.
No. So, yeah, no, really. So that would save us so much time and effort. But let me ask you this. Do you think what you are seeing and interdicting and assisting to train law enforcement on, are we, is there more of it today, or are we just able to find them today? I mean, what, where are we looking at? Is there an epidemic that is, that has grown in recent years, or is this that we've just discovered ways to uncover it in recent years?
I would say that we've discovered ways to uncover it in recent years. I would say the pornography epidemic that we've seen just because of technology, you've probably seen an increase in the leanings toward children possibly, but there's also, you know, I believe the scriptural principle, I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that says there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
This is still a sin-fallen world. We're sinful people. We're going to do sinful, terrible things, and until Jesus returns, we're going to see these sort of things happen and take place. I just believe with the porn epidemic, because of technology and the technology that we have, it might not be more prominent or be happening more. It just is a bigger, it's a bigger sphere that it impacts. And by that I mean, like look at P. Diddy, that whole thing, right? Look
right.
at the Diddy case.
Right.
It wasn't that he was impacting people all over the world. He just had a massive sphere of influence, and he was impacting the people in that sphere of influence. It's the same thing for the dad that was raping his 16-year-old daughter here in Jefferson County that was just arrested recently. He was impacting the one young lady in his sphere of influence. That guy was the same age as me. He's like 40 years old, right? He was impacting that young lady in his sphere of influence. That's all he had. So I think that we're just able to find it more because of technology, but I do believe the porn epidemic that we're seeing is adding more to the people targeting kids,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Unfortunately, it makes sense. And I think that the technology we have has also given perps new ways to find kids and target them from afar, whereas I think there might have been times in the past with lack of technology when someone had to be in close proximity to the child. Now they can reach them from afar and arrange to meet them somewhere, and that's an amazing overcoming that as a parent or as a guardian, having to watch everything that kids see online and what's being communicated, even through video games people are communicating to kids.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
And we see guys targeting kids on the games, even like, you know, the Roblox or something is one we've seen recently. I would say this: when you give your kid access to the internet or a 5G network or a 3G network or whatever, you give the world access to your kid and your kid access to the world. So the days of a free candy van showing up and talking your kid into the free candy van and taking them away are over. They will literally target your kid's mind via their digital footprint, and they will talk your kid right out of your house. And that's what we see. We see it every day. I get a call about a kid who's being sextorted. We call it sextortion. Or we see a kid that's targeted and their mind has been stolen.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to get that child's mind back. So that's what we see just because of the digital fingerprint that we all have now.
This makes you want to go live off the grid with your kids. You know what I'm saying? But the world that we're in, you know, posturing ourselves to be the defenders of our household has got more facets on it now than it used to. But it's just what we got to do. I mean, it's absolutely what we got to do. Hey, listen, man, let me ask you this. We got about a minute and a half left before we have to go, and I really appreciate your time. Tell us about the Liberty Minute podcast, what we got going on there. What's your goal with the Liberty Minute?
Yeah, so my goal for the first, at least the first 10 episodes we're going to launch, obviously it's not very long. It's only 10 to 20 minutes. I think I'm averaging about 15 to 20 minutes per episode. Call it the Liberty Minute, so we don't want it to take forever. And it's essentially what I'm doing on these first ones. I'm going through the Bill of Rights, because one thing that I've learned that most of us don't understand of Americans as Americans is our constitutional rights that exist by God. It's not that the Bill of Rights outline rights, like say, hey, the government's giving you these rights. No, it's just telling the government what they can't do, what they can't take away, because these are rights that we already have by God. Our forefathers just saw fit to write them down. And laying those out there in a way that's really easy in layman's terms to understand, and so that we know, hey, these are the rights that I have as an American citizen by the hand of God, and using that to govern how we respond to our government. Because on the other side of it, the government can take those rights away if we try to take those rights from other people away. Does that make sense? We break the law, we lose those rights because we didn't uphold our responsibility as a good citizen. So talking about it on both sides and what that means, that's what we're going to do for the next, you know, 10 episodes, basically.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your stance. I appreciate your heart. And brother, thanks for the work you do. And we'll have you back on soon, and you are part of the Right Side family.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you before then, and God bless.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that was Jared Hudson, founder of the Covenant Rescue Group, former Navy SEAL, literally, who has been doing work all over the nation with Covenant Rescue, training law enforcement, helping them with their stings, and then providing the assistance they need. And what I mean, I'm just telling you right there, just in the last 3, 4, 5 months, there have been 20, 30 arrests because of Covenant Rescue Group's work with law enforcement right here in Alabama, just right here in Alabama. All right, y'all, we got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. Great conversation there with Jared Hudson. And I'm telling you right now, that man's doing God's work. Oh, by the way, he is a 501c3. He didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Covenant Rescue Group. You can find him online. Covenant Rescue Group. Jared Hudson. That's J-A-R-E-D, Jared Hudson. They are a 501c3. They're a nonprofit. If you have year-end giving that you're still trying to figure out what you'd like to do, there's several that we appreciate around here, like Elm Foundation and some others, and then one of them would also be Covenant Rescue Group out of Birmingham. If you like that mission, if that's your calling to support something like that, give them a thought too. I got to take some text messages because I'm getting way behind. But coming up in a minute, don't forget, we're going to have Butters and Lee. Butters and Lee coming in. Questions and answers back and forth. David from Athens texted in. He says, David from Bucky's. He says, Phil, I think you nailed it. I've always been confused, wondering at what age a child would think he or she wants to be the opposite gender and want to undergo such drastic surgeries. Yeah, there is no age at which a child should be allowed. If a child is not allowed to enter into a contract, if a child is not allowed to get a Costco card, if a child is not allowed to have a driver's license, or vote, or drink, or join the military, they should not be allowed to change their physical bodies, and parents should never be allowed to force them to do so. It should be an adult decision they make of their own free will so that any indication that they were ever forced into it is at least of unilateral consent on their own and not because someone signed the paperwork to have it happen. Unbelievable. John C. from Madison says, the people that are allowing the sex traffic and slavery of young children have a special place in hell after they die. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Stephen from Athens says, doctors in hospitals like Vanderbilt and CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, oh yeah, that's a bad one, are receiving money from, in part, the Biden government. Timothy 6:10, he says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and hopefully that money flow will start ending January 20th. Yes, and amen. Bruce from Springville, Alabama says, I never thought I'd see the day the U.S. government would embrace pedophilia. No kidding. Brand spanking new in the text lines. We're glad to have you. I'm not sure. Is DJ a guy or a girl? Do we know? Okay. DJ, we don't know. I don't know whether to refer to you as a guy or a girl. But anyway, DJ from Springville says, Phil, these disturbed people that want to change our kids. Gender is all about them, not the kids. They know they're the minority, and they just want more people on their side. They need therapy. Yeah, they do. Hey, go ahead and send DJ a text and just ask us, you know, tell us, are you male or female so we can know that we can refer to you correctly. I've got one other like that where it says something like, you know, KB, male. Dustin from Hazel Green says, I'm not aware of any big headline pardons in my lifetime. Currently 37 years old. Biden's was beyond extraordinary. Yep. But the one thing I've seen come from this and that goes for me personally as well was it prompted me to read into the cases that I've been that have been heard by SCOTUS over the Presidential Pardon Powers Clause, like the 1866 Ex Parte Garland. How about that? It's amazing the things we weren't taught in school beyond the headlines. Have a good one, you. Thanks, man. Man, Dustin, thank you. By the way, Dustin, thank you for doing your research. That's huge. If more people would do that, educate yourselves. It's awesome. Victor from Huntsville says, Phil, preemptive pardons are the basis for a sequel movie, The Inverse Minority Report. yeah. We saw a crime coming, so we just fixed it by pardoning it. We didn't bother going there and trying to fix it ahead of time.
By the way, Brian from Huntsville just called in and said, are we sure that's not Dale Jackson messing with us, DJ from Springville?
Not unless he moved to Springville. Lewis from Birmingham says, presumed innocent till proven guilty. So Democrats are wanting everyone who committed crimes the past 5 years, admit what you did, and then he can pardon you. Not sure that preemptive pardons are a thing. I don't think they are a thing, man. I don't. Brian from Decatur says, I'd love to have a preemptive pardon for insider trading. That way I can do the exact same thing our congressional members are already doing, not go to jail.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. And then Jim from Athens says, how stupid are these people? All right, we got Butters and Lee coming up. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right. It is Thursday. Thursday at 3:30. That means I bring in two people who are meaningful to this show. We loves our team, and some of our team are folks that are always out front, like JP, and some folks are sometimes in the background, but they do amazing things. Well, I got two that are like both. We have a section called Butters and Lee, where I bring in the Butters and the Lee from Huntsville, and we ping questions back and forth and just see where we fall. So let me just call the roll. Butterman, are you with us right now?
I am here.
Wow. I heard JP earlier say buttery smooth voice, and there you are. I like Yeah. That was a dad joke from you, JP. That really was, but I just used it. So what does that mean?
Exactly.
And then also calling in from the great north of the state, Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I am. I'm here as the predestined winner of today's show. Can't believe wow. It.
That's like you get a Biden pardon where there's like, you know, just advanced pardons for things.
Exactly. DEI winner for today.
That's right.
Or what are we doing?
Okay.
I'll take it.
This is not a meritocracy around here. Go ahead and hit me some.
John said
give me,
it.
Give
John
me some
said
yahoos.
It. I don't know why
hit me. All right, let's get started here. First question. I asked the questions in the round one. Y'all asked the questions on round two. So round one, first question. Looking to the Trump nominations. He's got his cabinet being filled out. I mean, the left is freaking out because he really is following through by saying he's going to appoint certain people that are considered to be, you know, strong conservatives or, you know, ready to get in there and muddy the waters, if you will. But one of them is Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. Pete Hegseth, known most, you know, famously as the guy who's been on Fox Network for a number of years, came and spoke in Alabama a few years back. I had a chance to meet him just briefly in like a receiving line. Nice guy. But some are saying that the confirmation of Pete Hegseth is the one that is most in jeopardy right now, but that it's a hill worth dying on for Republicans. What say you? Lee, you first.
Yes, I think... He is a hill worth dying on, and one of the reasons is I think that Trump has the political capital to push this through. I think it's going to expose some of the rhinos that are going to want to knock down any candidate that they don't consider super palatable. I also think that it's important because they're going to find these personal peccadilloes on anybody, no matter who it is, and they're going to try to derail every nominee. You got to stop that cold. And I think Trump, the thing about Democrats is they fall in line. They fall in line when it counts. They do. Manchin would always stand up and bluster on about what he was going to do, but when it counted, like Obamacare, he voted like he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Republicans have never quite been able to duplicate that effort. So I think that they need to start falling in line. And if these, like, you know, super liberal ones, you know, we can do it without them. We need to.
Is it so to your point, though, you do believe it is a hill worth dying on? Like, this is one we got to get this through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, because we got to establish a baseline here saying you're not just going to come and knock down each one of these nominees.
Butters, what do you say?
I hate to say, I don't know that I can add a whole lot to that. But yeah, I mean,
well, thank you.
I think we made it clear what we want, right? The voters.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's gonna quickly lose steam. If every turn, I mean, we haven't even gotten to inauguration yet, you know. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, is he truly the one to hill to die on over time. I don't know, but certainly this early on, we need to push forward with this, and especially any kind of the naysayer of, well, he's not the standard, you know, he's not a retired general, he doesn't have, you know, so what? Like, that's the point. We want all of that gone. So yeah, push it.
I agree with both of you. I think you guys nailed it, and I'll add one more piece to it. I think if they are allowed, the Democrats and the liberal media, if they are allowed to do another smear campaign to ruin someone's career in order to stop someone from being appointed to a worthy office, then they win on that regard too. I think it's twofold. One is Trump's nomination, I think, is important. I think that Pete Hegseth can do the job. I think he's qualified. I think he'll be the guy that cares about troops more than any other secretary we've had in recent years. But I think we also have to put an end to the entire, you know, death by smear campaign that we, like, we saw it with, well, we saw it with Roy Moore here in Alabama. We saw it with what happened with Justice Kavanaugh. This kind of crap, they can't be allowed to keep doing this. So shut it down.
To that point, yep. I mean, it's also the traditional media. I mean, the only reason The View has any relevance in our society today is because we all talk about how crazy they are, right? That's it. They get clicks off of repeat little clips and all that kind of stuff. Well, just stop talking about them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this, you know, folks like Pete and others, I think we you know, we need to take to the social medias and go and give them encouraging. Hey, look, we know this is garbage. You know, we're not listening. We don't care. We need to actually truly make these media entities irrelevant.
Yeah. Completely
and
just, agree.
And
yeah.
Allow for, you know, someone with faults to get in office, or what are we going to end up with? Yeah. People are going to have issues because we're human beings. But if you're saying they're not worthy of redemption, I don't believe that. And by the way, you'll never convince me that Roy Moore wasn't a dry run for Kavanaugh. I personally think it was exactly that.
That's exactly what it was. Roy Moore was the bellwether. He was the one that showed them that the battle plan can actually work. I mean, they got Clarence Thomas way back in the day. They tried, but the Roy Moore, they were successful in getting him off the ballot pretty much, and that's what they won.
With Richard Shelby Telp, I might add, Katie Britt.
I will agree with that. Absolutely. All right. Wow, that was great. All right, great job, guys. So let me move to the next question. I just had a segment earlier in the show. I was talking a lot about kids, and the whole segment was called "Do It for the Kids." I hope you heard it. If you didn't, I'll just give you a quick up on it. The reality is that I put three different categories of where I think our culture, our society, is too often allowing things to happen to kids. One is the transgender agenda. The other is the abandonment on the southern border. I'll get back to that. And then the third is sex trafficking or you know, human trafficking of kids. Now, that being said, let me go to the one about the southern border. The Biden administration, by its own Inspector General's report from the DHS, has lost track of 300,000 unaccompanied minors who came across the southern border. What should the Trump administration do about that, and should heads roll? And you first this time, Butters.
Well, in no particular order, should heads roll? Yeah, I mean, they need to figure out what's going on in there, and maybe this is a, you know, top priority for Doge to get in, but they need to dive in. Now, I know, you know, plenty of Border Patrol and Customs guys that I've known through the years that I've served with in one capacity or another. There are a lot of dudes that want to do the job the right way. So figuring out, right, we know there's competent people in there. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
But then, you know, you just had Jared Hudson, who clearly has a proven model. Sounds like he's a great candidate to throw some hire on as a contractor or whatever that needs to be done, and others like him, and get busy actually doing the work. And I think that's along the same lines of what, you know, Kash Patel is pushing with the FBI. Why are you all sitting behind a desk? Like, we aren't stopping, you know, the sex trafficking and all this kind of stuff. We're not stopping this by sitting behind a desk in D.C. Like, get out there and go do some work and put some manpower in. Yeah. And I think that helps you, you know, get a hold of this.
Yeah, outstanding. That's good stuff. All right, so Lee, 300,000 kids. What should be done by the Trump administration should heads roll?
And I apologize, I wasn't able to listen. I listened to some of your children's segment, not the whole thing, so I apologize if I'm repetitive, but I think you have a three-step process. A, at the border, you reinstitute the DNA test. And if you aren't a family member, that kid isn't going with you.
Number one.
Number two, we need to find the kids that are lost. These are children. They may not be American children, but they're somebody's child. These are the people who are the most defenseless. We must protect them. And what we need to do is find where these children have been taken, because a lot of them could be in child trafficking and being, you know, sexually abused and or being used as, you know, workers or whatever. And none of that is appropriate. And then it gets to my third, which is, and I think we should try to reunite them with their parents in their home country. The third is, I think that the NGOs like Catholic Charities, Jewish Charities, these people that are taking the children and trying to reunite them with a, quote, relative, which we don't know that's what it is. And then the check-in is totally voluntary, which I think is ridiculous. I think those organizations need to be thoroughly vetted, and we need to have a serious investigation in every NGO that's taking children, because I think there's bad things happening. And I think the bad things happening is because no one is checking on the people taking care of the children.
No, totally.
So I think you got to do those three things.
I think that's awesome. I think you just nailed it. And I think I absolutely agree. I believe that when they came across the border, the fact that we took them, whether we like Biden or not, the fact that we as a nation took them, they then became our duty to protect. And by just abandoning them to whoever showed up, when the phone rang because the number that was written on the kid's arm said, call this number, and they came and picked up the kid. I think we go back now, because surely to goodness there's a record somewhere, right? I would hope there's a piece of paper that says this is where the child went. And somebody needs to be given the job when Trump takes office, that your job is to go follow up on every friggin' one of them and find out if the child is still there and if they're doing okay. Every single friggin' one of them.
Think about what the FBI is going to people's, you know, an old lady's home who was praying in front of an abortion clinic to arrest her.
Yeah.
Why don't you take that kind of zeal and go to the homes of people who are supposed to have children and don't, and interrogate the crap out of them until you find out where that child is?
That's right. Start pulling fingernails, I say. I'd listen. This is just too much. And I said earlier in my show, I believe this is the kind of thing that a nation can be judged for. And I think future generations are going to look back and go, 300,000. We lost a whole generation of kids because of the way y'all treated them back then.
All right.
Great work, you guys. That is round one of Butters and Lee. That flew by. My gosh. You guys are like double filibustering in a good way today. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Round two, Butters and Lee. We flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait to see what happens. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where they ask me questions. I don't know what they are in advance, and I just wait to see what's happening. So, Lee, ladies first, what you got for me?
So, have you seen the article in 1819 about the Prattville Christmas parade and the drag queen float in there and people kind of up in arms about it?
I just saw it. In fact, I just saw that Prattville decided to pull the float altogether. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't seen an update. That's good to know. I just wanted to also highlight something in Huntsville that I thought was interesting as well.
And okay.
To me, it's hand in hand. So a friend has Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And 2 years ago, they were in Huntsville's parade with their Cub Scout float. And right in front of them is a strip club and their float directly in front of the Cub Scouts.
Wow.
They had poles. Yeah, they had poles on their trailer. And they were all dancing on the poles with, like, sports bras and full leggings with, like, a thong over the legging. Now, I think both of those things are highly inappropriate for a Christmas parade.
You think?
And I'm just wondering where we went off the rails. Why does it – would it not have to be family-friendly? Why was it a strip club?
Well, I think, first of all, the public needs to speak out. I think the public needs to speak out and recognize that what's happened is this is a fallen world. All right. First of all, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I get that. However, the people can also look and go, we're just not going to accept that. We're just not going to, we're not going to go there. And there's, you know, if they want to make a case, if the strip club wants to say we should be allowed to prance provocatively in front of children, they need to make their case in the court of law and tell us why that's okay. Because there are times.
But you know what?
What?
We could have had a law against this, Bill. We could have had it. And the dadgum legislature didn't do it. There was a law. There was a bill out there that would have prevented this.
Well, and I realize that, and it's amazing that we have to have the legislature get involved. If you think about it, though, that's my point. In this case, this is a citizen's issue for right now, and until the legislature does do something like that, which would be tough, the citizens, just like in Prattville, need to go, "Hello, it's a Christmas parade. We don't want, you know, the gay pride transgender parade float, and we don't want the strip club. Yeah. And by the way, can we just not?" Yeah, Butters, what?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, we don't need to legislate all of this.
All the morality.
I think a lot of it is we've been fed the, well, you know, live and let live, or let's just all get along, and we've let that slide, and then, you know, the public shaming and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Which I think we're sick of it. We're done, and now you got a community that, okay, you want to tell us we're wrong? Sorry.
I think the library fights have actually emboldened people to realize, oh, We can choose to push back against Target when they have these transgender kids' clothes. We can choose to push back against the Library Association and the Teachers Union. And, oh, by the way, you can push back against the organizers of the parade who allowed that to happen.
And I guarantee, assuming that you've got particularly local politicians involved, when nobody else shows up with a float and nobody shows up to support the parade,
yeah,
I guarantee you,
yeah,
those local politicians will fix it.
Guarantee you. I agree, man. All right, before we run out of time, Butterman, what is your question for me?
NASA.
So
shift into maybe a little lighter topic, but I know it's near and dear to a lot of our Huntsville listeners. NASA, Jared Isaacman. Not sure. I know a little bit about him because of some of my aviation background. He actually has a couple airplanes in Gadsden getting repaired right now, and has had a couple of jets painted at a great shop there in Gadsden. Nominated to take over NASA, was one of the first civilian captains to get into space. Thoughts? Have you looked into him too much?
I've not. I mean, I know that Jared Isaacman is a billionaire. He founded Shift 4 Payments, I think, is the company. He's got ties to Elon Musk, which is interesting. Ties to SpaceX. So I think what that does too is it puts someone who comes from that background in the private sector into the NASA wasting money, not accomplishing the mission anymore, losing their way, you know, the government bureaucracy stuff. And he's going to bring in that kind of, hey, remember what the free market can accomplish? Look what SpaceX just did. Hey, NASA, we're going to wake up. And I think he's going to bring in a freshness if he can get confirmed, which I believe he will. So, yeah, I don't know much about him personally, but the things that I know seem like he's going to bring something to the table that I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, my sources tell me he's actually really good friends with Elon.
No kidding.
And it is interesting, you know, if there'll be that relationship with SpaceX.
Yeah.
You know, how well, you know, that's a double-edged sword.
It
when
is.
You're dealing with
you're
contracts
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you've got explorers that want to go do great things. And, you know, that's kind of that's the American spirit to me.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, who knows? Who knows? but to your point, what I was talking to a friend here, yeah, he's a businessman.
Yep.
Probably the most successful business guy to ever be in charge of NASA.
Well, listen, the music's playing. That means we're done. But that was a good one. I look forward to what else happens. Butters, Lee, thank both of you. Appreciate what you do. We'll talk to you soon. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three here on a Turbo Thursday. We're getting you all the way to Friday. Got just so much content today. I don't know if I can get to it all, but I got to say, What's also been amazing is the content on our other platforms. So I know I say it, I'm gonna keep saying it. I want to make sure y'all know Right Side Radio is just one piece of Right Side Media, the overarching company. And JP has been doing an amazing amount of work creating additional content for our social media and for our YouTube platforms and all that. We're streaming the show live right now, by the way, speaking of YouTube. If some of y'all are out there wondering, well, how does the Christmas tree look in the studio that Charlene put in there yesterday? You can see it right now. The lovely Charlene brought the Christmas tree in yesterday and set us all up. But yeah, we're streaming live right now. We do it every day. You can stream the show on X, on our Right Side_Media account, or at Sinfield Williams, my personal account. You can go to Rumble. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Twitch. We're on all these different platforms. Plus, you can always find it where everything is on our website, rightsidemedia.org. Now, having said all that, there's a couple things I wanted y'all to know. First of all, our YouTube is really growing. There are aspects of growing a multimedia company that require you to hit certain marks before you're allowed to grow further. Things you can do and can't do. Well, our goal right now is 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. 1,000. And yesterday, y'all just like crushed it. I mean, I think we picked up somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, 35 followers yesterday.
Yeah, we ended the show at 697. We're at 726 right now.
Sweet. See, that's just awesome. Our goal is 1,000. I'd love to get there by the end of December. But if you go to YouTube and check us out to see what it looks like on the studio or whatever else, I would appreciate it if you'd subscribe. It just means you'll get notified if there's something else going on, or you can get to our channel easier. By the way, speaking of which, there's a lot of stuff on there. You put up a video yesterday that was just when I was talking about how Kamala Harris looked drunk in that video, yeah. She did.
Mm-hmm.
You put that thing up and like overnight it came down to like 10,400 views.
It's got 10,500 views right now.
Does it really?
Yeah.
JP, we're trending.
Yeah, we are trending, and I had a feeling that one would do pretty well.
yeah, Kamala being drunk, that one. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff on there. It's not just the live stream of the show. You can find all of our podcasts. You can find, and by the way, as long as I'm doing shameless plugs,
yeah.
Today we just rolled out the latest in our line of podcasts. So we have video podcasts. I have one called Right Philosophy. Birdman has one called Right Click. And we just added a third one and a fourth one coming out Sunday. The third one coming out today is former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson doing one called The Liberty Minute. That one just dropped two episodes today to start it off with. And then our friend Emily Jones, many of y'all know her from being on the show before. Emily is the founder of Moms for Liberty here in Alabama. She's started one called The Controversial Mom. And we start airing that one this weekend, Sunday afternoon. So anyway, I'm pretty stoked, man. This is fun. How did this happen? I was just a quiet little lawyer, just a little country lawyer, just downstairs doing nothing much, just kind of quiet. And now here I am.
It's crazy what God can do. And I'm interested to see what he continues to do here at Right Side. I'm excited to be along for the ride.
I am too. We have more announcements coming in the near future, I do believe. We'll let you know as they grow. All right, let me jump on some text messages real quick, because you guys are a big chunk of the content of this show. You guys, this is an audience participation show, and we love the fact that y'all participate. David from Hoax Bluff, he says he's talking about the whole transgender agenda and all that kind of stuff we talked about earlier. He says that group is reprobates. Yes, indeed, they are. That's a great Scrabble word, by the way, reprobates. Lou Ann from Huntsville says how they rationalize something way more permanent than lip gloss is beyond me. Wow. Yes. By the way, DJ made sure that we know that DJ is a male. I saw you already put that up next to his name so that I can say, thank you, sir, when I'm talking to him. He said, I hadn't drank the Kool-Aid. I'm sticking with male, brother, all 59 years.
Hey, listen, if any liberals are out there and are angry, we checked for his pronouns, so there you go.
No, we didn't check for pronouns. Holy cow. Dan, the man from Huntsville, checking in. How about a long text? He said he gives me websites we can go check out about law enforcement and things that I guess, okay, yeah, great, with some resources on how to protect kids. That's great stuff, man. The website is called No2Protect. And they have plenty of information about indicators, things you should watch out for your kids. Very good, Dan. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Pastor Barnes from Hartsel, he says, hey, Phil, if Joe Biden was or is so senile, he can't be prosecuted for having stolen classified documents from his time in the Senate 15 to 25 years ago until the end of his term as VP. Then wouldn't anything he signed be considered legally invalid, null, and void? Pastor Barnes. So it's an interesting question, Pastor B. So here's the thing. Incompetency actually requires a legal adjudication. So there would have to be, and the way it works, because I, you know, as an attorney, I practice in probate sometimes, and I've worked on these competency hearings. And the way it works is there's going to have to be a guardian ad litem appointed. There's going to have to be someone who brings the petition on behalf of the person who's now considered to be incompetent. They're going to have psychological testing and medical testimony, and the judge is going to have to adjudicate them as incompetent. We know Biden's incompetent. We're watching things happen like he does not have it firing on all cylinders. But the idea of invalidating what he's done can only happen if someone invokes the 25th Amendment and then declares him to be incompetent as a matter of, you know, matter of law. If that happens, it's a whole new day, but it's not going to happen. So,
well, I'll do one better. He talked about anything he signed being null and void. How about he shouldn't be president of the United States? If he's not competent enough to know that he took classified documents, you know?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Or for that matter, doesn't know how to stay awake when he's in a meeting with foreign heads of state. It's just, it's
just food for thought, you know? Because apparently the people on the other side don't think about this stuff. Or they do, and they're just, you know, they know what they're doing.
You know, part of the problem, though, is they are so steeped in the lie they told that if they give in to it now, they are culpable.
Yeah.
So for him to be declared incompetent, there's a whole bunch of people who have lied and covered it up. And they're not going to let that happen. I'm just going to be honest. They're not. Should they? Yes. There should have been a whistleblower. Somebody should have been a whistleblower. Somebody should have come forward and said, look, I've been there. They juice him up before he gives speeches. He gets shots of something every single day. He's falling asleep by noon. He calls a lid on his day. His secretary does all the work. You know, his aides are the ones who actually run the country. And give us an example or three. But nobody's done it. So it's going to go down in history as the president that may have been incompetent.
Well, Karine Jean-Pierre told us that all the public videos of him stumbling and looking lost, those were all deep fakes. That didn't actually happen.
Deep fakes.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, and then you talked about them not being willing to pull him from office because now they're exposing themselves, only except when Kamala then loses, and then people on that side say, you know, Joe should step down and let Kamala take the reins as a symbolic action. It's like, so now you're willing to pull him from the ticket.
You know, and here's the other thing. I think that we would have had a much tougher time with the election had Joe done what Joe should have done and Jill should have done.
Yep.
And said back towards, you know, last year, listen, I've decided I'm not going to run again. I'm this old, and I do believe that the best thing for me to do is spend some time with my grandkids while I still have an opportunity. And my son's had some troubles, and I want to spend some time with him and be there for him in the latter years of my life. He could have done that, and the whole world would have gone, oh, you're the man. But no, they had to wait and say, you're the man because he was forced to step aside after waiting too long.
You're the man as he was forced to step out.
Exactly.
What a sweet guy.
Shorty from Anderson says, Phil, just my opinion, maybe the opinion of millions of Americans, that every single Democrat should have charges filed against them for allowing these 300,000 children. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not funny. These 300,000 children to go missing under their watch. They should be charged with a list of charges. A whole list of charges, including sex trafficking, kidnapping, possibly murder, and the list could go on and on. Somebody needs to be held accountable. I agree, Shorty. And so that's why I'm saying I think the Trump administration needs to appoint a department head to oversee the tracking of these 300,000 kids. Like go bird dog it. Make the phone call. Do the house visits. Make sure that they're actually still alive, that whoever took them in still knows their whereabouts, and I'm a little afraid of what we'd find out, but I think that's the only way we can do this. They are now our responsibility. We allowed them in, and we basically undertook the duty to care for these minors, whether we like it or not. We undertook a duty. Jeff from Indiana says, "Hey Phil, I've been stuck in Fayetteville for about 3.5 hours now. Wow." said, I need a Bucky's care package with a big brisket in it before long. Brother, you get you some of that care package with the big brisket. Hey, tell our caller, by the way, we'll have to hold on during the break because I'm about to go to break, all right? John from Huntsville says that was one of the best episodes of Butters and Lee ever. Thank you, John Paul. Appreciate you, man. Maybe they're the dual winners. Ken from Coleman says, incompetent? Biden. What about pardons? I get it. And then Jimmy Carter, this is we got a brand new texter, by the way, calls himself T-Swine. I'm not sure what T-Swine is. T-Swine a male T-Swine or a female T-Swine? Either way, Jimmy Carter says can finally pass at rest knowing he outlived the worst president ever. Good for Jimmy. No kidding. T-Swine, welcome to the right side text line. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got somebody holding on the line. I'm going to go to number two of the Triple Dipper, power and influence. Yeah. Let me give you a hint. It's not in the Biden administration. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, he held on during the break, so let me honor his time and get right to it. On the line one, Wolverine Dan. Hey, man, how you doing?
Well, Phil, I'll make it real simple, okay? The gentleman running our country, where I don't think he ever really did, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of medical issues, which it's not his fault. We all go through it as we get older. His latter part of his life, he needs to concentrate on being a wonderful grandfather and a father to the children that he has on this earth. And that's what Joe should do. Joe should step down now and let President Trump come in there, like I said the other day, and get busy and do the job.
I completely agree. I mean, and I look at it too, and I'm thinking, you're 81 years old. Did you not want to see your grandkids on a regular basis? I mean, I can't imagine wanting to be in the roles he's been in all the way up to now.
Well, I'm at a McDonald's now, and I'm going to get my granddaughter a Happy Meal. We're going to have fun. We're going to play in the McDonald's, and that's just what grandparents do. So, Phil, really, you know what? I'll be on what they did in the family and everything, crime family, the way I see it. Just move on. Let's start fresh. Let's get this president in there and do what the work for the people of this country and make everybody's life wonderful.
I'm with you, man. It's high time and for him and for us. So thanks, buddy. Hey, enjoy that Happy Meal time.
Well, I will. I'm going to give me a double cheeseburger. I'm good.
Sweet. All right. Have a good one. See you, Wolverine. And he's so right. I mean, I've got amazing grandkids myself, amazing. And they have got me wrapped around their little finger. And I cannot imagine, I mean, I get it. I'm a hard worker. I work well before the sun comes up and I'll be working when the sun goes down. And I do that on a regular basis, but you've got to make sure that you don't lose sight of what's important. And I don't think that my concern, and I did an entire monologue on this. I'm running down a rabbit trail right now, but it's okay. My concern is that you see some of these folks like Joe Biden, who is a career politician who's been in office for over 50 years, who does not know what to do with himself if he's not in office because it is his identity. You and I were talking here in studio about, I'm not saying it like in a callous, I'm not wishing anything, but you and I are both conversing about, is he going to survive long after he leaves office? Because this is his identity.
Well, not only that, but the man is barely even functioning as a human being. Like, that shouldn't be a partisan. You can't tell me my eyes aren't seeing what my eyes are seeing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even the fact of it looks like the only way he's keeping going, and like this is not a partisan thing. This is just fact. I feel like he's just being drug along and being propped up, and that's almost what is keeping him going. Not even just being in the office. It's people dragging him to do, you know, press conferences, dragging him to other countries where he's falling asleep. That seems like the main thing that's keeping him going right now. And then forget the fact of, oh, he's only the leader of the free world doing that, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
You talk about, I mean, if when he leaves office and nobody's there to drag him along anymore, then what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it's also his identity. I think this is one of those, I knew guys in Montgomery that were like this. Like, if they didn't get elected, it was the end of the world. Well, the question is, is it what you do or is it who you are? And if it's who, if you make what you do who you are, you will always have disappointment and you will always be in fear of losing it because you have made it who you are. And you can't go down that road. But I really do believe that Biden is one of those who is in that boat. In over 50 years, he had about, what, a four-year gap where he was not in office. And that's it.
After Obama left, that was the only gap he ever had?
I think that's right.
If so, that's, that, yeah. And talk about a career politician.
Yeah. And they still set up, you know, the whole Penn Biden Center so he could do foreign assistance and foreign, you know, consulting and all that. Anyway, which was just a money dump. But anyway, we got somebody checking in, Tim Hoover. Tim from Hoover says he ought to watch the Andy Griffith Show about Opie breaking the windows and standing on his 2 feet. Yes. There are life lessons in Andy Taylor and Andy Griffith Show that are still valid to this day. If all we did was say, okay, we're having a parenting class and we're going to watch Andy Griffith, it would work.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there were some moments where you look at Andy and go, come on, Andy, why do you keep Barney around? But nonetheless. all right, listen, we're going to come back from this break and we're going to jump into the last dipper. It's going to be a two-dipper day, but the last dipper of the day is called Power and Influence. The world stage is already changing. It is already moving in the direction of Mar-a-Lago more than it is the White House. It's very interesting to watch what is happening as Trump is still 45 days away from taking office. We'll talk about it. Power and Influence. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. The one I'm sitting in, the one I'm talking about, the one I care about, Alabama, y'all. Alabama, y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. So, let's talk about power and influence. Pray tell, Phil, what do you mean? What I mean is right now we're watching the world stage sort of turn its eyes away from the White House and look at Mar-a-Lago. That's what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. Now, is Biden still president? Allegedly. He is allegedly still president. And I don't know who thought it was a great idea in the waning months of the 81-year-old, you know, president's doddering life to fly him, you know, off to Africa and make him spend 3 days, you know, going around doing a goodwill tour, writing checks that he can't back up. But he literally fell asleep. I don't know if y'all saw it. You can Google it. Just Google Biden falls asleep in Africa. Just Google it. The video is awful. It's not one of those where you wonder, oh, I don't know. Maybe he's just rubbing his eye. No, he's out for like a full minute. Just gone. And he's not in the crowd listening to a boring speech. Nope. He's at the table, the table with other heads of state as they share information back and forth. And they're there to present to him, and he falls asleep. Okay. I mean, you know, he's over there also allegedly giving away $1 billion in humanitarian aid to support Africans who have been displaced by droughts. Meanwhile, we got people in North Carolina still haven't gotten good aid from the hurricanes. But that being said, we've got a shifting away from Sleepy Joe. Praise God. I can't wait for Trump to be in. And by the way, I am praying for President Trump's safety. Do not think for a second that the same people that wanted to assassinate him before he was elected aren't as keenly interested in that now. All right, so just keep praying for him. Hotair.com, the editorial board of Hotair.com, had a piece that came out yesterday. They said the winning has already begun. They point out this is under normal circumstances, it takes a year or two before a president can have an impact on the economy or world affairs. But Donald Trump won't be president for already 2 months, and we are already feeling the effects of his election. He said consumers are more confident, manufacturers more optimistic, investors are more bullish. Canada is promising to toughen up its borders. Ukraine is talking about how to end their 3-year war. And there's a ceasefire in the Middle East. Even Trump's favorability ratings apparently just broke through 50%, which has not happened for him since 2015. when he was just starting to run. And by the way, we have the Economic Optimism Index from Real Clear Markets. It jumped 13.4% last month. That's the highest it's been since 2021. So what does that tell you? There's a sense of optimism. People are recognizing that the incoming guy has got it going on. And then you look at this. Story on Fox News. Dateline today. President Biden returned to the White House early Thursday after a history-making trip to Angola as Biden became the first American president to visit the sub-Saharan African nation. Great. How many folks paid attention to that? Very few. Likely his last overseas trip, Biden is already being overshadowed on the world stage by his predecessor slash successor. Think about that. The attention of world leaders has shifted from the incoming president to the incoming president from Washington to Mar-a-Lago with breathtaking speed, said one political scientist. Said Biden's been a lame duck for months. So the Biden administration would disagree, obviously. They would. They would try to say, we're not a lame duck. We're not. Really? Not today. But it's undeniable that world leaders are already looking. So here's a few things. Here's a few examples, and I'll give you more details as I flesh them out. But like, for instance, Trump is flying to France at the invitation of French President Emmanuel Macron. Why? Because Notre Dame is reopening after 5 years since it burned, and they're reopening Notre Dame Cathedral. And the French president invited the incoming American president to please attend the ceremonies, and he's going. By the way, a week ago, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau hastily ran down to Mar-a-Lago for a quick dinner and a please don't tariff us discussion. That was interesting. Trump suggested to Trudeau that Canada might become the 51st state. I bet he did say that. What do you think?
I don't want him.
I love Canada. Oh, Canada.
As long as Trudeau is not the governor of Canada when they come a part of the United States, then maybe.
But they'll have to change their football rules.
Yeah.
We can't do the merging. No, they gotta jump into NFL. But we already play baseball against them.
Yeah, we do. Blue Jays, and we play basketball with them.
Yeah.
But also somebody pointed out if that happens, we would own the NHL again. Because all the Stanley Cups go to Canada. So
that's right. Trump also weighed in this week on the Middle East, warning in a social media post that it would be all hell to pay if Hamas does not release the hostages before he's inaugurated. Love it. Hours later, he also pledged to block the purchase of U.S. steel. By the way, U.S. steel used to be right here in Birmingham. Huge. Birmingham was a U.S. steel town. He pledged to block the purchase of U.S. steel by a Japanese company. He said, I'm totally against the once great and powerful U.S. steel being bought by a foreign company. So we'll see what happens. And the spotlight is basically shifting to the incoming guy a lot faster than usual. Not uncommon for people to care about what the incoming guy says. The difference is this. Two things. One, Trump's been there before, so they know he's legit. They know what he's going to bring to the table. They know the flavor he'll bring to it. And number two, they know he's got a good mad going, and he's serious about what he says. So they've seen it before. They anticipate it again. They're paying attention to him way more than they're paying attention to anybody in the Biden administration. By the way, where's Kamala Harris? Does anybody know? Hello, calling Kamala. Calling Kamala.
She's in her basement doing videos to her supporters where she's not looking too hot. That's where she is.
I think she's licking her wounds, man. I think she is hurting right now. She's also trying to figure out how to pay off $20 million in campaign debt that everybody's looking at her going, don't come to us. Just call George Clooney. He'll write that check.
Or Soros or somebody.
Yeah, they'll be glad to help. Washington Times has a piece that says that what we're seeing right now is a global pivot from Biden to Trump, and that Macron's invitation is the actual icing on the cake. This is it's more than just an event. He's not just going to hang out with Macron. He's going to be there with 50 other heads of state and thousands of VIPs. This is a star-studded event, which looks like a great terrorist opportunity. So pray for Trump.
That's true.
I mean, this feels like, one of those Olympus is Fallen kind of movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's great he's out and about doing this stuff, but that aspect does worry me as well.
Bless him, Jesus. I believe, if I read this correctly, I'm reading this from Washington Times, First Lady Jill Biden will be there to represent the current administration.
Okay.
What?
Good for them.
Now, I want to know, when they do the group picture, are they going to put Trump standing next to Jill?
I don't know.
Come on. You can't make this crap up. Here's another piece from Newsmax. Newsmax has got they pulled in a former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, James Stavridis. He was an Admiral Stavridis, I believe. Anyway, he was a Supreme Allied Commander at one point for NATO. And his words were that you're seeing Hezbollah willing to go to a ceasefire, which is a direct result of the presence of the new Trump administration coming on. So he's saying ceasefires with Israel and Hezbollah is not because of anything that happened with the Biden administration getting in there and doing great diplomacy. Whoop, whoop. We got shuttle diplomacy. We're going back and forth. We're going to fix it all. We take credit. Let's do the press conference. No, he's saying it's a direct result of the incoming Trump administration. He said, this is Stavridis again. He said, in many capitals around the world, the leaders are holding their breath, unsure of what's coming. Notably, he said, Iran is also very vulnerable right now. Here's one of my favorites. This is Power and Influence, the segment right now. Story on military.com, which, by the way, despite its name, is not at all, it's like the AL.com. It's not at all conservative. But they have this story. Dateline 3 days ago. President-elect Donald Trump is demanding the immediate release of Israeli hostages still being held in Gaza, saying if they are not free before he is sworn in for a second term, there will be hell to pay. Here's the actual quote, and he got a lot of all caps in it. You know how he does. A lot of all caps.
He's truthing.
He's out there truthing on Truth Social. He says, quote, please let this truth, all caps, serve to represent that if the hostages are not released prior to January 20th, 2025, the date that I proudly assume office as President of the United States, there will be, all caps, all hell to pay in the Middle East. And for those, he says, in charge who perpetrated the atrocities against humanity. And then he added, those responsible will be hit harder than anybody's been hit in the long and storied history of the U.S., the United States of America. Release the hostages now, all caps. Man ain't playing. You know what people forget? Several of those hostages are still Americans.
Yeah.
And one of them we just confirmed was killed.
I did see that.
Yeah, it was apparently a few weeks ago, but it was just confirmed that they still have his body. But he was a U.S. citizen named Omer Nutra. He's a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. And he was killed. So I think there's two Americans still being held among the 100 or so total. And meanwhile, Biden's like, I'm going to go to Africa and fall asleep while I give away billions of dollars because I can.
And that's part of why Hezbollah is getting a ceasefire now, is they're trying to get one with this administration on the most favorable of terms as possible, because they know that one's coming in that won't do that. And it's like Trump says that, and you know he would do it because he's done stuff like taking out Soleimani. And
oh yeah.
So it's really frustrating when you have American citizens, you can't just go return them now or there's going to be consequences, and then actually back it up. That's all Biden had to do. But they can't even do that because they're terrified of them. And so it's that easy. You're the United States of America, and you have the resources to do that. And instead of kowtowing and being scared to terrorists, then this is what you get.
SEAL Team 6 needs to have a group photo made in the Hezbollah leader's bedroom,
mm-hmm,
and just post that on social media and let the world know, we went there. We did a thing. There was hell to pay.
I refuse to believe you mobilize troops like that, they would be unsuccessful. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I refuse to believe if you put, you know, tier one troops like the SEAL Team 6, that they're going to be unsuccessful in finding them. That's just me.
I agree. Last one before the break. Elise Stefanik, who is Representative Elise Stefanik, Republican from New York, she's been meeting with senators on Capitol Hill because she is soon to be confirmed as Trump's UN ambassador. She has already been very vocal. She said that she is going to be the UN ambassador who is preaching America first, peace through strength, and national security. And she's basically making sure they understand, too, the UN, which is notoriously anti-Israel, is basically on notice right now. She even last month demanded a complete reassessment of U.S. funding for the United Nations. Hello, I'm your new UN ambassador. By the way, I'm calling you out, and the checkbook is about to be closed. You know, we fund 22% of the UN budget is the United States.
I was about to say, do 20, that.
22%.
See how that works out for you.
Billions of dollars. Not only that, we host them right here in New York City where they never pay their parking tickets.
And I bet if she said that to Trump, he would say, okay.
Take me to a break, brother. Power and influence. Power and influence. That's what you're seeing right now. The world is shifting away from the White House momentarily and onto Mar-a-Lago because they know who's got the power and the influence, and they are already on board. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Jeffro from Indiana's had a day of it, man. He said, I just got a trailer. I've been sitting here at Faultville for 4 hours. I love my job. Well, Jeff, man, I am sorry. Tell me who I got to come down there and take care of. You tell me who it is, I'll come down there and take care of it. I'm just saying. Listen, you need to stop at Bucky's. Find a way. I know they don't do trucks over there, but just find a way, man. Get you some beaver nuggets, and I am sorry. Get home at a good time.
Now you're making me hungry.
I know they don't advertise on the show per se. Mm-hmm. But have you had one of the brisket sandwiches from Bucky's?
All the time. Well, obviously I worked at VNN in Huntsville, I passed by Bucky's on my way home, and there would be a time or two I would see the sign and go, you know, a brisket sandwich sounds pretty good right now.
Did you ever have the dual meat sandwich?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's like it would break out in the meat sweats.
Really?
Yes. I mean, like you tie into that thing. It's a bun that's too big to be called a bun.
Yeah.
And it's like a half loaf of bread, but you've got a large amount of brisket and a large amount of pork. And then you've also, maybe a triple meat sandwich. And I think they even put some Kaneka sausage in it.
Oof, that sounds really good.
Dang.
The Bucky's brisket sandwich is probably the best brisket sandwich I've ever had. And then I couple that with some of the sugar pecans. I'm good to go.
Anyway, all I know is they got it going on. And it's a gas station.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I was there one time. I sort of did a rough count. I think I figured there's roughly 125 pumps there.
Yeah.
I pulled in to get gas. I had to drive all the way to the end of the entire pump line of 125 pumps to find one that was open.
Yeah, it's always packed when I see it. I went to the biggest one in Sevierville, Tennessee one time, and oof.
There's a bigger one?
The biggest one in the U.S. is in, am I saying Sevierville?
Sevierville,
Tennessee. I went there when we were passing by. It is ginormous.
You know what? The European mind cannot conceive of this. This is the most American thing out there.
That's capitalism.
A freaking gas station with 125 pumps and massive barbecue. And oh, by the way, you can get a scented candle while you're there too. I mean, it's like everything.
And grocery shop. Man.
Do all your Christmas shopping.
That's the best. Sponsor us, Bucky's.
You know what? It almost sounds like we're begging, but you know what? We'll be glad to sit here in the studio and eat Bucky's barbecue and talk about how good it is. Apparently, we'll do it for free, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Lisa from Tanner says, trucks can park on the dead-end street behind the door. Jeff, are you hearing that? Trucks can park on the dead-end street behind the door. Just letting you know. John from Huntsville got the grades in. He says, JP gets an A- for his just okay performance because when he opened up the show saying how happy he was that Alabama won a basketball game last night and that Auburn lost, I deducted 10 points off his grade. He said, Phil gets an A+ for his awesome performance. Jared Hudson and Butters get an A++ for their equally fantastic performances, which means today's winner is obviously Lee from Huntsville with a flawless A++. Lee from Huntsville, flawless A++.
It's almost like we saw this coming.
I don't understand. Well, and by the way, I don't know if you heard it. You lost 10 points because you talked about Auburn losing the game.
Yeah, I saw that. I think that's more he's upset that Auburn lost last night.
He said, by the way, my grading system may be unfair at times, but it's still way more accurate than the College Football Playoff Committee's grading system.
Yeah, he's kind of got a point. Even though Alabama got the favor in that.
Come on. Is there a caller on the line? Do we have it? Okay, good.
But, it was Brian from Huntsville again. He wanted to say that maybe Bucky's under Biden should expand and get 125 battery charging stations instead of gas stations.
Never happened. Never happened. They'd have to open up like a bed and breakfast, too, because you'd be there all night trying to get your car charged up. Lisa from Tanner just sends me a laughing face that says store. Oh, behind the door. Oh, she's correcting. It's okay. You can park on the dead end street behind the store. It was her typo, not mine. Yeah. John C. from Madison said, with regards to Trump calling out foreign governments and the thing with the hostages, said he sounds like Reagan when he was president-elect. Iran held the hostages for 444 days. Since Carter would do nothing to get them released, Reagan pretty much did the same thing as Trump. Iran released the hostages on the inauguration day, 1980. Yeah, they did. It was amazing. And then last one, Louis from Birmingham says, while the world's respecting him, his party has already decided to attack him. Yeah, I know. We're going to watch and wait and see what happens here, man. But I think we're going to get there. Listen, what a great day. You guys, we got a great day for you tomorrow, too. It'll be Friday. In the meantime, do not forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.